Good morning, everyone. Deuteronomy 7, a difficult chapter to cover. Let's have at it. I want to recall for a moment that back in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham to go to his land and that he was going to give him the land and that he was going to bless Abraham, that he was going to make his family expand, and that he was going to be a blessing to the nations. And ultimately, God wanted to bless his people and have them be a blessing to the people around them. One of the things that we need to understand today is that we're not living in the old covenant. We're not living under the old covenant that we're reading today. We're under a new covenant. In the new covenant today, we have been saved by faith through grace. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior who died for us. And now we have become his kingdom of priests. We now, those who believe in him, are sent ones. And we seek to help other people know the good news of Jesus Christ so that they can become part of the family of God, so that they can be forgiven of their sins and promised eternal life. We are part of God's missional army to go make disciples of all nations. And that is what we're here to do now. So God is trying to, in this season of history, God is trying to win the world to Jesus Christ and have people come to know him, and we're part of that mission. We're no longer doing it through war. We're no longer devoting anything to destruction. However, in the Old Testament, there was a distinct time in history when God is asking the Israelites in this season to overtake the promised land and give them the land, that they were to devote everything to destruction. That is a reality of God's people, a reality of what God desired in the old covenant. And there's a reason for it. That doesn't mean that we always like it, but God doesn't come and seek our opinion. God has reasons, and I'm going to give you what I believe are those reasons. So first of all, do you remember when God created Adam and Eve and he created them in a beautiful garden? And one day he's going to return us to essentially a garden, but it's going to be a new Jerusalem that's going to come down out of heaven. And there's going to be many things like there were in the beginning. First of all, God's going to have his own light. There's going to be a tree of life in the garden. There's going to be a river flowing from the middle of the throne of God. And much like they had a blessed time with God's proximity right there with them in the garden, we will have that again one day. God's going to restore that one day. Hallelujah. But in that perfect place, Adam and Eve sinned against God, and they were removed from the garden due to their sinfulness. And then sin was on the loose. Sin multiplied. You might recall that Adam and Eve had two children, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. There was murder right away in the first family. And ultimately, instead of multiplying God's goodness, which is what God always desired, by the way, he said, I have created you in my image and likeness, and I want you to be fruitful and multiply. That's what he told Adam and Eve. He wanted to create a people that would honor and be like him and multiply his likeness, his goodness throughout the land, that we would be a people that would be after God. Well, when they got kicked out of the garden because of their sin, they multiplied as God desired, but they multiplied a sinful version of mankind. And in fact, the earth got so corrupt and all their thoughts were just corrupt all the time that God looked at his creation. He's like, man, what I created was meant for good, for you guys to multiply my likeness, my image, my goodness. And instead, you guys have multiplied wickedness. And that's when God flooded the earth and only saved one man's family, Noah's family, on the ark. And then God started over through Noah and he said, hey, he gave him the same mission. I've created you in my image and likeness. Be fruitful and multiply. The same thing that he told Adam and Eve, he then told Noah. See, God is after expanding his image, his likeness, his goodness in this world. And in fact, he's still about doing that today. Through the church, through followers of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to try to resemble and take on the reflection of Jesus, become more like him, and seek to multiply him in others throughout the world so that they can have the forgiveness of sins, and so they can have eternal life. So God is still after the same mission. However, in the Old Testament, now again, a different season, a different dispensations, God's not working in this way anymore. God was after Israel to expand his image, his likeness, his goodness. And he knew that if they intermarried, if they just went into this new land that God was giving them and just let everyone stay there, he knew they would intermarry with them. He knew that they would become corrupt. They worshiped all kinds of false gods and false things, and they were not a holy people, not a good people. And when Israel would go in there, if they didn't destroy them, it would go back to like what it was with Noah, where everything was just corrupt, and that he'd have to start over again, so to speak. So God said, listen, I'm trying to create a people in my image and likeness who will be like me, and it's not going to work unless you guys destroy those who are there. So in this season in history, that's what he asked them to do. That doesn't mean that he's going to do, he's asking us to do that. That's not what's happening today, but it is what God desired, because he knew the outcome. He knew the outcome that what God created when he created this world and he created Adam and Eve and he created us, it wouldn't work out. And, ultimately the truth is, it didn't work out. The truth is, man has always failed to live up to the standard of God. And that's why God, in his great love, sent his son. And we live in a new season of history now where everyone has the ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to become born again and live a new life under Jesus Christ. And everyone's welcomed into the family of God through faith in Jesus. So God's doing it a new way. I can't stress that enough. I've already repeated it. But it's really important. Although we worship the same God who's now revealed himself through Jesus, God is working in a different way today through his church than he was in the Old Testament. With all of that as a backdrop, let's see what happened in this season of history when God was trying to create a pure people in the promised land. Verse 1, when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you. And by the way, it's going to be miraculous how God's going to give this little, this country that, it's only been a country for 40 years coming out of a slavery, and somehow they're going to be able to develop an army that's going to be able to defeat their enemies because God's going to be with them. When these nations come before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. So this is why he's going to give the reason why for all of this right now. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. See, God wants people to worship him and him alone. He does not want a plurality of gods. He does not want, there isn't, by the way, there's only one true God, but he doesn't want people worshiping false things. And this was his great concern. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you if you don't destroy them, because then you're going to end up worshiping everything that they worship. But thus you shall do to them, you shall tear down their altars. See, they were already worshiping false things in this land, and smash down their sacred pillars, all things of false worship, and hew down their ashram, again, things of false worship, and burn their graven images, more false worship that the people were doing in that land, with fire. You burn it all so that there's nothing left for you guys to worship false things. Why? See, what is God trying to do? For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You're a holy people. I want you to expand my holiness. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number, because they're not, than any of the peoples, for you are the fewest of all the peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God. He is God. He alone is God. the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousand generation with those who love him and keep his commandments, but repays those who hate him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with them who hates him. He will prepay him to his face. And you know that even though we live in a new dispensation, that that's still the case today. When Jesus Christ comes back, those who do not follow Jesus are going to be destroyed. And those who follow Jesus are going to enter his millennial kingdom and ultimately the new heaven and the new earth. So although there are changes in this new dispensation that we live in now and the ones to come, it's still going to be, you know, back then Israel was God's family. Now those who believe in Jesus are God's family. And that's the way that you stay in the love of God and in a blessing of God. But those who do not follow Jesus are going to pay, and just like these people do. So we got to get our life right with Jesus. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. And that's what this book has really been about, a reminder to do what God has asked them to do when they enter the promised land. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness, which he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. Hallelujah. Remember that that's what it was always about, multiplying his image and likeness. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle, for the Lord will remove from you all sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but he will lay them on all who hate you. You shall consume all the peoples whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. Your eyes shall not pity them, and here's why. Nor shall you serve their gods, for they would be a snare to you. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, and you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh. Remember, you know, Pharaoh had the power and control of you, and you got out of there, and God's going to take care of you taking over this promised land too. The great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. He's been miraculous to Israel. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet against them until those who are left and hide themselves from you perish. You shall not dread them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, for the wild beasts would grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them before you and will throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. It's going to be miraculous how God's going to give Israel the promised land. He will deliver their kings into your hands so that you will make their name perish from under heaven. No man will be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. Now listen, here's why. Again, the graven images of their gods you are to burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, for you will be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Look, it's an abomination to worship anything but Jesus and God. Jesus is the revelation of who God is. You shall not bring an abomination into your house and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. I can't help but just think today that, you know, we live in a different season, and God's trying to win the people to Jesus, and, you know, I just want to say that sometimes we worship the foundation of America, and we say, well, you know, we have in America freedom of religion. You can worship whatever you want. And the reason we got what we got in America is because over in England, they forced people to follow the king's religion, and people didn't think the king's religion was right. It was a version of Christianity, but not if you followed the Bible the way that we do today, you wouldn't want to be forced to follow the king's religion. So the people who came to America wanted a freedom to be able to worship God of the Bible. And in their constitution, in our constitution, they said, well, because we didn't like being forced, we're not going to create that in America. Although they were the, you know, people who came here were largely Christian and wanted to be a Christian nation. But they said, listen, we think it's bad to put any kind of forced thing into the constitution because we didn't like that. Well, in doing so, we got a major plurality of faith, and everything goes and everything is to be respected. And especially when you get the liberals in charge, you know, it's almost anti-Christian and pro everything else. And just know that this hasn't changed. God wants to be worshiped alone, and he is the only true God. And the revelation of who God is has come to us through Jesus Christ. And the word of God is how we know who God is. And he's also revealed who he is through his spirit. And, you know, I say, okay, maybe our constitution has worked out better than, you know, other nations for prosperity, but has it led to the worship of the one true God? And yes, you know, I'm grateful for the many freedoms that we have in America, but it doesn't work well when we say anything goes and just worship whatever you want. And our country has become more liberal, more atheistic, more filled with corruption, more filled with sinfulness. And our God is always one who wanted to be worshiped alone. So take the freedom that you have and make sure that you worship Jesus. And I would desire that we would help more in this nation become a Christian nation until the return of Jesus. And yet it looks very likely that the world, although there could be a season of revival, there could be a season of return to the Lord, that likely things aren't going to be at their best when Jesus comes back. That's what the Bible indicates. But you know what? That doesn't mean that you can't be at your best. And take our freedom that we have and worship Jesus and him alone. God bless you all.